Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Joey Valcarcel.
Amen. Well, you know, before I give you the title tonight, I want to give a little disclaimer. Is that all right? And the disclaimer is this, that, you know what, tonight it's going to be a little bit of a challenging message. And I know that because as I was preparing, as I was studying, looking over these things, I thought to myself a couple times, oh Lord, I'm not so sure I'm so qualified to be saying some of the things that you're asking me to say. But I'm thankful today God's not looking for perfect people in order to minister, because if he was waiting for perfect people, there'd be no ministry. Amen. And so I guess what I want to say to you is we are going to be challenged, but I want to grow together with you tonight. Is that all right? I believe that we should be maturing and we should be moving forward in the things of God. You know, as we come in contact with God and his word, we should be being transformed and coming into his likeness more and more as we go throughout our lives. And what a privilege it is to not stay the same. Aren't you thankful today that the gospel is a gospel of transformation, and God has new places for you to go and things for you to achieve and attain to. And so as we follow God, those things will come to pass. I also believe you're going to be encouraged today. And you're going to be encouraged that you can do what God is asking you to do. Amen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And then also, you know, I really believe that you're going to be equipped this evening with some practical and applicable things that you can take with you and put to practice in your life and see God's blessing come forth. And so if you're in agreement with that, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, in that case, with no further delay, I want to speak to you about the illustrious, the intriguing, the exciting, in the words of Little Caesars, the extra most bestest subject of learning to suffer hardship. And the crowd goes wild. You're probably thinking to yourself, I knew I should have stayed home tonight. I knew it. No, I said it right. They've got it typed up there correctly. Learning to suffer hardship. That's the topic. That's the subject that we are going to be looking at today. And, you know, I really believe that if you get a hold of what's being said, now I don't believe it's the most intriguing, most exciting, you know, most illustrious, extra most bestest topic to discuss, but I do think it's one of great importance. And in fact, I'll say this, if you can get a hold of some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight, I really believe that you're going to save yourself some trouble. We're talking about learning to suffer hardship, and by suffering hardship, you're actually going to end up saving yourself from some trouble tonight. And so I'm excited. Well, let's just be honest about it. Nobody likes pain. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants, you know, affliction and opposition and challenge and hardship. I mean, that's like the last thing that any one of us, there's nobody in the audience, if I took a vote by hands, I don't think there'd be a single person in the place today, at least in their right mind, who would voluntarily say, hey, I want some more affliction in my life. I want a little bit more persecution. I want things to be a little harder for me. No, that's nobody, and rightfully so. Nobody likes to suffer hardship. Nobody likes to suffer in general. And so much of our lives are spent, you know, trying to make things easy, trying to streamline. One of the sayings that we have here at The Rock is work smarter and not harder. We're all about making things easier and making things more efficient and making things more attainable. And man, we would do anything to avoid, you know, these things that we're talking about tonight. But the reality is tonight is that all of us, no matter what we do, there's going to be pain, there's going to be affliction, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be challenge in our life. And so we need to be prepared when that challenge comes to go through it the way God wants us to, so we come out on the other side where he wants us to and find our lives blessed. The other day I went with some friends to the restaurant, and we were kind of teasing one another just a little bit. And so we were using this phrase, check please. And we were using that, you know, if you happen to, you know, if this waitress or this waiter happens to do something I don't like, check please. If you happen to say something that makes this a little socially awkward by any means, check please. Waitress, I know we have the appetizer and hasn't even come out yet, but check please, because I'd like to get out of here. If you for some reason are going to be a little over dramatic this evening and express yourself a little above, you know, the accepted norm of drama, check please, I'm out of here. And I think that's so telling of how we are in life today. At the first sign of the slightest discomfort, check please, I'm out of here. Hasta la vista, baby. And by the way, I ain't coming back. And we're ready to move on to the next best thing. Isn't that right? The other day, in fact, I think this last week, my children are off in the summer and I have Mondays and Tuesdays off. And so daddy's at home playing with the kids, watching the kids, providing for the kids, doing the daddy thing. Amen. 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 And so for lunch, this last Monday or Tuesday, I was cooking some bacon for some BLTs. Anybody out there like some BLTs? This is probably the bad time to bring up food since some of y'all are probably thinking about dinner. Now, I don't always cook. But when I do, I cook some bacon. My wife said amen, because literally, I don't always cook. I only cook bacon. So when I do, it's bacon. Yeah, so anyways, and I'm cooking, I've got the pan on the stove, and I've got the bacon on the pan, and it's heating up, and you know, the grease is boiling, and sure enough, here comes some bacon grease shots right onto my arm. Ah! And I think to myself, I knew we should have gone out to eat today. I could have gone to Wendy's and this could have been such a happier experience. In fact, better yet, we should have gone to McDonald's and all bought ourselves a happy meal so we could all have a happy time. Because I just can't stand this bacon grease popping up on my arm. So dramatic, right? And isn't that how we are in life? When hardship comes our way, when tribulation, when persecution, when somebody does something that we don't like, when things don't go the way that we expect, oh my God, the world is coming unraveled. Girl, you'd have no idea what they said to me today. And we're ready to give up. We're ready to give up, cave in, quit, throw in the towel, and move on to the next best thing. And so here I am, this full-grown man, dancing around the bacon pan, trying to avoid any small piece of bacon grease, because it was, you know, you just know every time it popped, and I'm ducking and bobbing and weaving, because you know it was just headed right for the pupil of my eye. So dramatic. We don't like pain. We don't like suffering. We don't like the idea of discomfort. The reality is, we are all going to face it, no matter what we do. And if I'm honest with you today, in the last 6 to 9 months as a pastor, I have talked with more people who are leaving their churches, quitting their jobs, abandoning their marriages and their families because of this thing called hardship, because of this thing called stress, distress, and pressure. And the reality is that God has some things in his word to say to all of us so that when these things arise, we're able, like I said a moment ago, to go through them the right way so that we come out on the other side where God wants us to, and we can be blessed in our is anybody listening today? Learning to suffer hardship, learning to suffer affliction. You know, you'll find it all throughout scripture, Old Testament and New. In fact, in the New Testament, probably even more so than the Old. But you can't get away from it. From Genesis to Revelation. Somebody said recently, they said the one fight that God allows us or allows us to fight in the New Testament is the good fight of faith. But that's just it. It's a fight. And some of the most inspiring things to me lately have been these individuals who have gone out and they have taken on the fight. They have chosen to say, you know what, I'm not going to back down. I'm gonna take on this challenge. I'm gonna accept this, you know, this rivalry, this contending, this opposing force, and I'm gonna take it on, you know, wholehearted. I'm gonna take it on zealous. I'm gonna take it on passionate. I'm gonna conquer this challenge that's in front of me. Recently, Manny Pacquiao, at the age of 40. Beat the reigning world champion 10 years younger than him at the age of 30. all right, for those Manny Pacquiao fans, but I just love things like that. Here's this 40-year-old getting in the boxing ring. Come on, guys, this is not like, well, I'm not gonna, you know, he's getting in the boxing ring. This is like the place where you get pummeled and you get beat up, and he gets in this boxing ring, and man, you could just tell from the beginning to the end, Manny Pacquiao was out to win that fight. He took that challenge, and he was like, man, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what's facing me. I'm gonna get in there, and I'm gonna win this fight, and sure enough, he did. Michael Jordan is one of my favorite, he is my favorite basketball player. And for those of you who are wondering who's the GOAT, the greatest of all time as it relates to basketball, it's Michael Jordan. I feel sorry for those of you who think it's LeBron James or think it's Kobe Bryant. They pale in comparison to the great Michael Jordan. And you likely think the way that you do because you never saw him play, all right? But Michael Jordan, phenomenal basketball player. And recently I was watching an interview with him, and the interviewer was asking him, you know, what was it like to beat the Detroit Pistons? The Detroit Pistons back in the day, they were known as the bad boys, and they were the reigning, you know, world champions. And so, you know, these guys, they didn't just win the basketball game, they beat you up while they did it. And so Michael Jordan gets into this finals, and the teams are going back and forth. And he said he had a conversation with his dad, and he realized after that conversation, he said, you know what? I realized that somebody was going to have to stand up to the bully, and that was going to be me. So I got on the basketball court, I stood up to the bully, and I won that basketball game. And here I am, I'm sitting there on the couch crying. crying. You know why? Not because of Michael, but because if Manny Pacquiao can do it for boxing and Michael Jordan can do it for basketball, how much more ought we be able to endure and to take on the challenge and to fight the good fight of faith for our God and Savior Jesus Christ? Come on, it's not time to give up, cave in, and quit. The job you're going to quit is the very job that you prayed and asked God for. Come on, somebody. The very marriage you're about ready to give up on, and the kids you're ready to walk away from, the very spouse and the very children that you prayed and asked God for. So come on, it's not time to give up, cave in, and quit. It's time to take on the challenge. It's time to suffer hardship. It's time to do what God has called us to do. Having done all to stand, the Bible says, let us stand therefore, carrying out the things of God. You know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, verse number 33, he says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It's a promise of the Father that in this world you will have tribulation. Again, you can't get away from it. You can live a lily white life. You could do everything perfectly. You could plan perfectly. You could go great lengths to ensure that you don't face hardship, and yet it's going to come into your life. The word tribulation means pressure. It means distress. It means affliction. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hello? The word hardship means severe suffering, trouble, hard times. You know, I read some of these definitions, I think to myself, God, maybe my life isn't as bad as I thought it was. I'm not so sure that the things that I complain about really equal up to severe suffering, trouble, hard times. Peter then comes along and tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. See, here again, all throughout the Bible, you're going to find this theme of suffering, of dealing with trouble. It's there. You can't get away from it. It's going to come into your life, and you've got to know what to do with it when it comes. You know, I felt it important to mention this, that in the New Testament, when the Bible talks about suffering, it is most often implied that we are suffering at the hands of other people. When you read verses that have to do with suffering in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, you're going to find that most often the suffering is as a result of somebody doing something to you. You see, it's one thing to suffer just misfortune. We're kind of willing to deal with that, right? Just hard times in general, you know, not necessarily the result of anybody's doing. In fact, we're even willing to suffer as the result of our own bad decisions. I thought to myself, I'll drive a little bit over the speed limit. If I get a ticket, well, I'm willing to pay it. You know, we're willing to suffer for misfortune, just general misfortune. We're willing to suffer when it's the result of our own bad decisions. But oh, if you're the reason for my suffering, check please. And we're out. We're not willing to go through the suffering. And yet all throughout Scripture, we find that, hey, people are many times the very reasons why we're going to face the challenges that we face. And so are you willing to suffer the hardship? You see, not everybody is going to like you. Not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to value you. Not everybody's going to see your gift and your talent and want to promote you, want to bring you to the forefront. You are going to be labeled. You are going to be, my goodness, you're going to be called names. You're going to be defamed. You're going to be hated on. Come on, somebody, there's some haters out there in this world. These things are going to happen. You cannot avoid them. As nice and as pretty as you are, as many good things you have done in the world and you feel like you have done, people are still going to come against you and accuse you of things that are not true. You're going to have conflict in your marriages. You're going to have disagreement in your relationships. There's going to be tension between you and your boss, you and those who work underneath you, you and family members, friends. There's no getting away from them. These things are going to happen in life. You're going to be a part of churches that have dysfunction. How many of you know today that the Rock Church or World Outreach Center has a little dysfunction? Can I get an amen? And see, you see, like, oh my God, did he really say that? Yeah, I really said that. Because you know what? You think that the dysfunction that you experience here is the only dysfunction on planet Earth. So you're going to leave this church, go to the church down the street, and expect that there's going to be no dysfunction there. Actually, there's dysfunction everywhere that you go. And everywhere that I go, you cannot avoid it, and you cannot get away from it. In 16 years on staff, do you think I've ever had an opportunity to leave? Oh, I had an opportunity to leave. Once, twice, five, six, seven, ten. No, I'm being dramatic now. Do you understand? And you know what? There are some people who have left. But I wonder if you have what it takes to endure hardship. You know, people think we work here at church and we just float on a cloud all day long. I have an office right next to Pastor Joel, and I walk by and he's hovering there in deep meditation and prayer. Praying all day long for the restoration of those who are offended. No, there's real life happens here. Real life happens everywhere, though. Right? Truth, we're going to suffer at the hands of other people. But I don't know about you, I'm going to keep on working the works of God. I'm going to keep trusting in his name. I'm going to keep looking to his promises. You see, what you this whole life thing has less to do with what you do to me and more to do with whether or not God has called me to where I am. God called me to this place, the Rock Church or World Outreach Center. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to stick through with what God has called me. Come on, somebody. Doesn't matter what they do to you on your job. If God called you, you need to ask that question. God, have you called me here? And many of you know he has. It's not time to abandon. It's not time to walk away. It's not time to give up, cave in, and quit. It's time to keep on keeping on. Keep on working the works of God. Keep on trusting in his name. God wants to see to it that you come out triumphant in hardship and triumphant in situations, triumphant in overcoming. How many know today you have an enemy out there? His name is the devil, and he'd love nothing more than for you to think the grass is greener on the other side. But he would hate the idea of you saying, you know what, I'm going to stay right here where God placed me. I realize today that the excellence of the power, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power is of God and not of us. Come on, we are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Come on, somebody, always caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus would become manifest in our life. No, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick through it. And I'm going to make sure that I come out on the other side where God wants me to come out. I am not backing down. Did you know today that suffering really shows maturity on your part? Suffering shows maturity on your part and on my part. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, actually, if you brought your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there because I'm going to reference this verse a couple times. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, We're going to look at verse number 1. Suffering shows maturity. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind." I should have highlighted this next part. "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." I should have highlighted that part. "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." In other words, if you have disciplined, or better yet, we should use this word, if you have crucified the flesh, like you and I are called to do, amen, to the place where we are able to endure suffering. How many realize that suffering is like one of the things that'll get your flesh to cry out the most? You follow me, right? And if we have crucified the flesh like we're supposed to the point that we are able to endure hardship, suffer hardship, then when it comes to the other carnal areas of life, we are less likely to walk in those things. That's maturity. The ability to not live a carnal life, a flesh-ruled, flesh-governed life, but the ability to crucify the flesh, and as the Bible puts it, lead a spiritual life. So being able to suffer under hardship, under challenges, really shows maturity. You know, Paul talks to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and you can write that down and look at it later. We're not going to go there tonight. But he says, you know what? When I came to you, I wanted to talk to you as to spiritual people. Or in other words, as to mature people, but I couldn't share what I wanted to share because you're not able to bear it. And the reason why is because you are still carnal. In other words, you are still, the word carnal, you are still flesh ruled and flesh governed. Your flesh dictates what you think, what you say, and what you do. And then he makes a statement. "So I spoke to you as to carnal people, as to babes in Christ." What's he saying? I spoke to you as to immature people because you're flesh ruled. You are carnal. Oh, but on the other hand, this verse that we had up here, "He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And so it really shows maturity on our part when we're able to deal with and handle and not be moved away and derailed from what God has for our life when hardship comes our way. I love what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said, "As Christians face storms of adversity, they may rise with more beauty. They are like trees that grow on mountain ridges, battered by the winds, yet trees in which we find the strongest wood." Should I say that again? "As Christians face storms of adversity, they may rise with more beauty. They are like trees that grow on mountain ridges, battered by the winds, yet trees in which we find the strongest wood." Charles Stanley said, "Adversity is not simply a tool. It is God's most effective tool for the advancement of our spiritual lives. The circumstances and events that we see as setbacks are oftentimes the very things that launch us into periods of intense spiritual growth. Once we begin to understand this and accept it as a spiritual fact of life, adversity becomes easier to bear." One more. This is from Charles Spurgeon. "No star gleams as brightly as those which glisten in the polar sky. No water tastes so sweet as that which springs amid the desert sand. And no faith is so precious as that which lives and triumphs through adversity. Tested faith brings experience." Tested faith brings experience. You want to know how David faced Goliath? Because he had tested faith when the bear and the lion showed up. And he didn't run because of the adversity. He grabbed the lion and the bear by the beard and struck them in the name of the Lord and watched God bring about a great victory, so that when he stood before the giant Goliath, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Come on, somebody. That he should defy the armies of God. And he brought a great victory. So tested faith brings experience. You would have never believed your own weakness had you not needed to pass through trials. And you would never have known God's strength had his strength not been needed to carry you through. Charles Spurgeon. Suffering shows maturity, and maturity is wrought when we suffer. How many of you out there want to mature in the things of God? So how do we suffer tonight? I've got a few points, and I promise I'll go through them quickly. How do we suffer hardship tonight? The first point is you need to arm yourself with the mindset to suffer. Don't wait till you suffer to make up your mind that you're going to suffer. Make up your mind right now. God, whatever comes my way, I'm gonna deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. You know, I like this word arm. You think of an army or a soldier going out to war. The last thing he would want is to be unarmed. And spiritually speaking, what does the scripture tell us? That we need to be armed, not with a gun, not with a sword, but with a mindset that suffering and persecution is going to come our way. Determined that, you know, whatever comes, I know it's going to come. At some point or another, it's going to come. I'm ready to deal with it. I'm ready to endure. I'm ready to bear up beneath the weight and the pressure and keep on keeping on. You see, when you arm yourself with the mindset that you're going to suffer and realize that it's coming no matter what we do, okay, then when it shows up, it won't take you by surprise. When suffering, if you know ahead of time and you prepare your heart ahead of time, then when it shows up, it don't take you by surprise and it won't derail you. You've seen The Passion of the Christ, right? How many of you seen The Passion of the Christ? Seen The Passion of the Christ? Let me just take you back down through memory lane real quick. You remember the part where Pilate sends Jesus off to be scourged? They tie him to the whipping post. And what does Jesus say? Father, my heart is ready. Now, that's not necessarily in scripture, but I think it's a great point and a point of truth. And that is this, that Jesus had determined before he got to that place, hey, I'm going to deal with the suffering and I'm going to carry out God's will for my life. And what happened as a result? Salvation has now been offered to the entire world. You got to arm yourself with the mindset to suffer. 1 Peter 4:1, we're still there. Notice what he says. Therefore, since Christ also suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mindset. Arm yourself. Prepare yourself. Determine right now, hey, I'm going to carry out God's will no matter what may come my way. How about this one? How do we suffer hardship? How about this one? Pray. Pray. I still believe the old song, right? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. It's all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How many realize today that prayer still changes things? That prayer is still an avenue through which I can entangle myself with God. Prayer is still the avenue through which I can receive the strength I need to deal with the challenges of my day. Prayer is still the place. Prayer is still the source. Prayer is still the answer for my life. Instead, sometimes we go through trials and through suffering, and the first thing we want to do is call up our friend and start complaining and start murmuring and start talking about people and start all the while. And so on the way home, you know, you're driving in your car on the freeway on the way home and you're just so mad and you're just going over everything that has been done wrong to you. And by the time you get home and you finally have a chance to just rest, you got your flesh on steroids, angry, mad, discouraged, ready to give up, cave in and quit. All the while, God was there for you to just say, hey, God, I want to take to you my complaint today. I want to bring this before you, God, and I want to say I'm having a hard time right now, and I need your help, and I believe that you are the answer. I love the book of James, because James is like, you know, the counterpart to Proverbs. You understand, Proverbs is the book full of wisdom and full of just so, the wisdom there is so practical and just seems to be so easy to grab off the page and to apply in your life. Well, James in the New Testament is like the counterpart to Proverbs, just full of practical wisdom and knowledge, right? James just likes to give it to you straight. If you're the kind of person who says, hey, just give it to me straight, just tell me what I got to do, you need to read the book of James. It's only got 5 chapters, and if you read it this week, it'll fill up your work days and hey, it'll be great. It's just full of practical wisdom. And I love what he says here in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse number 13. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. And then he moves on. Is anybody cheerful? Let him sing songs. Wait. I'm suffering, James. Is that all you got to say is pray? Yes. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. What do you pray for? You pray and ask God for wisdom. How many of God can give you a strategy for dealing with the suffering that you're going through? God can give you a strategy. God can tell you what to do. God can tell you where to go. God can give you the answer that you need to give your boss, the answer that you need to give your spouse, the answer that you need to give your children. Come on, somebody. The answer and the strategy that you need for carrying out his will. Pray and ask God for wisdom and direction. Hey, sometimes you need to pray and ask God, hey, God, am I supposed to be suffering this? Hello? You know, God told Mary and Joseph, hey, I want you to get out of Israel, go down to Egypt until the king is done chasing after Jesus' life. He just avoided that whole thing. You know, I guess sometimes God will tell you to leave. But instead of leaving just being our first resort, we're talking about going to the Lord in prayer and finding out what's the strategy. And God, is this something that you have called me to suffer? You know, can we be clear tonight? Because ladies, we're not talking about suffering the abuse of a husband and living in a home where you're getting beat to pillar to post. We're not talking about that. If you're in a situation like that, you need to get out of that house, praise God, and get somewhere safe. Heard a pastor one time tell a lady, you know what? Here's what you need to do. You need to go to your husband. You need to tell him, you know what? I made a commitment before God and before you at that altar, and I intend on keeping that commitment. That don't mean I have to stay in this house, and so I'm going to move home with some family until you get your stinking little act together. It's okay. You don't have to clap for that. It's true. I just had a conversation with my 91-year-old grandmother who's leaving her church, because they have chosen to embrace a doctrine that is so destructive and is clearly not supported by God's word. And to make matters worse, they have removed the pastor there and inserted another pastor whose interest is in jamming this doctrine down everybody's throat. And so she has written a letter. She has had contact with that person. And there's a time to leave. We're not going to talk. I'll leave the heavy lifting for Pastor Dan. We're not going to talk about that subject tonight. But you understand, sometimes there's a time to leave. And you need to pray and ask God for wisdom and direction. God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? You need to pray and ask God for strength. We already talked about that. God is our strength. God is our source. By his glorious spirit, he will infuse us with strength in the inward man, the Bible says. So take your situation to God in prayer. Hey, here's another point. We only got two more here. Keep doing the works of God. Keep doing the works of God. When you're suffering, what do? It's not time to retaliate. It's not time to murmur and complain. It's not time to gossip. It's not time to get a group of people together and draw up a petition and start to sign it and start... It's time to keep doing the works of God. It's time to keep loving. It's time to keep serving. It's time to keep yielding and submitting and doing these principles that are all through. It's time to give thanks and praise God. I love that first song that we sang. No matter what, even in the darkest days, no matter what come my way, nothing is going to stop my praise. I'm going to still praise him anyways. I'm going to praise him today when the sun is shining, and I'm going to praise him today when the night has overtaken my life. I'm going to keep on working the works of God. I'm going to keep on believing God. And yes, you can. You can do what God has asked you to do in the middle of suffering. How many realize today, if God asked you to do it, that means you can do it. Because God doesn't ask us to do things that we cannot do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 36, it says, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. These people had their goods plundered here in Hebrews. These people were mocked and made fun of. Some of their lives were on the line. I teach this all the time at Bible college. And here Paul comes along and says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. I love this verse in the NLT, Hebrews 10:36. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Keep doing the works of God. And then finally today, and this is one of my favorites. And this one actually could have gone with the prayer one, but I wanted to make it separate. So here it is. Place justice in the hands of God. How do you suffer hardship? By placing justice in the hands of God. There's this story in Luke chapter 18, and you know what? I'm not going to read it to you for time's sake tonight. But in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, there's this widow who comes to this unjust judge, and she's asking for justice from her adversaries. And the Bible says he didn't fear God or man, and he just kind of blew her off, is what the Bible says. And then after he blew her off, he thought to himself, you know what? She's not going to stop. She's going to keep on coming back every day till I do something about this. So let me go ahead and do something about this. And then Jesus turns around and says, you know what? Hear what the unjust judge said. And he says, and shall not God avenge his elect who cry out to him day and night? Assuredly, he shall avenge them speedily. Speedily. You know what? There has been a couple of things I've done right in life. And there's been a number of occasions that I have just said, you know what, God, this is just flat out wrong. But God, I'm going to keep on working the works of God, and I'm going to leave justice and vengeance in your hands. So God, I'm asking you right now to get justice on my behalf. God, don't get justice the way I think justice should be done. You are the just judge. You are the just one. And God, you will make sure that every wrong is righted. And so I put it in your hands. I leave it in your hands. And my friends, that has been the prayer that I've got more answers to than any other. God has come through. God, one time, I was so mad one time. I was going home from, it had to do with the sports thing that I was doing. And I was so mad at the organization. And I said, you know what, God, this is really going to bother me. So here's what I'm going to do. God, get me justice. And the next morning, I got 2 text messages and a phone call. They had changed their hearts and minds. And I didn't have to say or do anything. And there are other situations. I won't go into detail, but God, get me justice. And God will bring about justice. Sometimes overnight. Sometimes it'll take a couple weeks. There's been some things I've asked God justice for. It took 2 or 3 months. But hey, that's better than no answer at all, right? And that's the position that God expects us to be in, okay? God expects us to understand hardship's going to come our way no matter what we do. We need to grow into dealing with it, mature in dealing with it, all right? We need to arm ourselves with the mindset. We need to pray. We need to keep on working the works of God. And you know what? We need to place justice in God's hands. I'll end with a story. I had a Bible college professor, and before he got into the ministry, he worked a secular job, and he was basically an assistant manager. And at this particular organization, there are a number of managers, and so they had kind of gotten together, not him, but they had gotten together and figured out a way that they could kind of cheat the system, you know, boost their bonuses and fudge the numbers, and they figured it all out, and they just needed Bill Ray is his name. They just needed Bill Ray to just get on board. So they went to him, and they did their whole proposal about how they're going to fudge the numbers, cheat the system, boost, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, sorry, guys, not going to take part in that. So he goes on vacation. When he goes on vacation, these managers start interviewing everybody in his department, asking, hey, has there been any suspicious activity? Has he done anything wrong? Is there anything, seeking out a reason they could get him in trouble and get him out of there so they could continue on with their plan? He knows this because some of the employees called him while he was on vacation and were like, hey, we just want to let you know what's going on. They're asking all these questions, trying to get you in trouble. And he was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. You know, maybe I should end my vacation. Maybe I should. So he gets off the phone, and God said, I just want you to go. I want you to go and enjoy your vacation. I want you to go praising me and worshiping me and trusting me. And so he said he did. Okay. He goes back to work. These guys succeed in getting him transferred to another place. After a couple months, he gets transferred to another location. and not something that he necessarily wanted. But between the time that he got the phone call, okay, 6 months after that, about from the time he got the phone call, it was about 2 or 3 months, they succeeded in getting him transferred so they can carry on with their plan. Well, another 3 months, so this is a 6 month total process. All the managers got fired. The company called him back and asked him to be the general manager of that store because he left justice in the hands of God. And so today, my friends, you know what? Again, I like I said, this, you know, for my own life and, you know, the people that we deal with all the time, quitting their marriages, giving up on their jobs, leaving churches, walking away, check please. And we are abandoning what God has for us in the name of comfort. And hey, there's a comforter though, in the middle of the storm. His name is the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. And so we can have peace and comfort in the middle of the storm. But let's endure hardship to receive God's promise. Amen. If you got something good for God's word, come on. One more great big praise for him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.